Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing is brought to you by Influential, a strategic consultancy that takes the guesswork out of influencer marketing for your brand. We provide much-needed strategically crafted frameworks on how to implement influencer campaigns specific to your brand needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing. And as usual, I'm not riding solo. My partner in influence, Anne Dolinshek. How are you?
What up, Sinti? I'm good. How are you doing?
Good to have you back. How's your year so far?
It's been fast, eh? Lots happening.
Yeah, I know. It already feels like we've done 8 months of 2020.
No, exactly, but I'm not complaining.
Me too. And ladies and gentlemen, as usual, we've got a very special guest in the studio. He is smiling. That's a great start. Bradfield, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let me just do a quick rundown of who he is. He is a serial entrepreneur and he has a strong creative flair and has demonstrated historically the knack for providing innovative solutions to complex problems in insurance, startup, and the tech industry.
It's a mouthful, but it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Thanks, Max. That makes me sound quite fancy.
He is fancy pants. And he is also Chief Innovation Officer at South Africa's leading independent financial services provider, Fed Group.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds taxing but exciting. I think let's start right there. What does it mean and what's a typical day at the office for you?
Well, there's absolutely no such thing as a typical day. And if days start to become typical, that's just a sign to me that we're not innovating or we're not pushing the envelope. What my role is to look at every aspect of our business. Fed Group, we insert innovation right at the core, rather than just, you know, it's often seen as the tech role. I'm not even a techie myself. Okay. I come from a creative director, marketing manager type roles before.
Yeah.
And we see tech as the enabler, and there's always going to, because of the rate of tech advancement these days, there's no ways one person can stay at the forefront of tech.
No.
Yeah.
So the approach we take is say, right, innovation is about ideas, and we apply this alternate thinking and come up with ideas and then look for whatever enablers those are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Innovation is also not always high-tech. Low-tech solutions are often the best solution. And if it's a tech focus, you sometimes overlook your best solution. So I'll look at processes, new products, new industries, partnerships, the way people work or work together or aren't working together. Any problem or area that we can look at to improve, that's a not so typical day for me.
So you basically go into also the startups that you help and kind of review what they're doing and how they're doing it and kind of streamline it, if you can put it that way, and also make it better.
Yeah, optimize.
Fantastic.
You know, optimization is definitely one of the core parts of innovation, absolutely.
I do love that. So also part of your bio says you reimagine your approach to financial services, which sounds like quite a mouthful to say. But what exactly was traditional and what have you changed?
Well, I think the financial services industry has been the sort of bedrock of society for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it was built on very long-standing traditions.
Mm.
And because it's a highly regulated industry, there's a lot of constraints, and because it's been around so long, there was kind of a status quo.
Correct.
What we've looked to do is to challenge that status quo. And we do that in a number of different ways, and product is obviously the one that would be very consumer facing.
Mm.
We brought out a product called Impact Farming, a world first platform.
Right.
And what changed there is that instead of there being these layers of there's an investment and then there's other layers and then there's, you know, And by the time it gets to the consumer's got no idea what's going on, no idea where their money actually ended up.
Yeah.
And a lot of red tape.
Absolutely.
And words you don't understand. And small print. And then by the time I'm like, I don't want this. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I do get it because I kind of thought somebody's told me I have to have it, I get it and I don't actually know what I've got.
Yeah, it's like a grudge purchase.
Whereas for us, we've got this impact farming where I buy the blueberry bush or the beehive or the solar panel and I buy that asset. And what we've done is we've used this platform that, or created this platform rather, where that asset gets put into a commercial size farm. So that, you know, if I'm growing one blueberry bush in my backyard, it's very hard to get Tesco's in the UK to pay a premium price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
And also, I might have five berries that's not really good quality, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Right? But now if I'm one blueberry bush that's part of a 20-acre or hectare farm, that's a smart farm that's using 90% less water, so it's environmentally friendly, which is at the core of this impact farming.
Yeah.
Everything on that platform has to be looking at people, planet, and the economy. And we're uplifting local communities around the farms. And now all of a sudden, my 300 Rand has been put to good use in sustainability. And the blueberry bushes from my actual blueberry plant ends up being sold in, say, Tesco's in the UK.
I absolutely love it. I actually went and I looked at those impact farming. And I'm definitely buying a beehive. Like, I'm so in favor of just saving the bees. When I saw that, I was like, that's it. And it's very simply put out. It's like, you literally tell me, this is how many hives are available to be bought. This is what it costs. This is your long-term investment of so many years. This is your rate you're going to get out of here. And that's it. And then you can go click buy. I was like, what's the catch?
Well, I think the catch is that everybody sold this idea that simplicity is complex.
Yes.
And but I think largely it's a myth because complexity has largely been created to make it difficult to compare products or it's made it difficult. You know, simplicity, again, at Fed Group, we really work hard and we look at it and we go, right, how do we make this simple? How do we take out the jargon? How do we stop layers and confusion? You read it, like you said, as a consumer, you went on there, you go, right, I understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And it was short paragraph as well. It was literally took me 5 minutes to read it, to understand it, and to know what I'm buying into.
Yeah.
Which is great. Thanks for that, by the way.
I'm glad you like it.
Also, I know you also say you've achieved viral organic reach through some campaign. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
So I think innovation goes into marketing in a variety of places that I've and campaigns that I've worked on. And what's happened is we've used tech platforms or whatever available resources we've got, which is typically, you know, if it's in the startup environment, their competitors are outspending them sometimes 1,000 to 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So if that's what's happening, there's no ways you can just go, right, well, let's do a normal marketing mix, you know.
It's impossible.
And we've always just, I've always looked at different ways of using, especially the digital big tech platforms, because what they've done is they've empowered anybody who bothers to put in the effort to really understand them. You know, you can really understand that platform on your specific topic and how to get your message deep into that community or audience. And that's something that wasn't available before. You used to have to go to big research agencies and but now, so now we use these platforms to our advantage in the startup space, especially the influencers is now a new phenomenon of sorts.
Yeah.
Drastically underused, especially in South Africa. I think globally, we're only starting to see. You know, we saw some superstars in that space, but they were kind of superstars already, or they were celebrities already.
Yeah. That just kind of transported their celeb status onto Twitter, Facebook.
And then
Instagram.
And then people go, oh, okay, cool, but that's sort of just like endorsements.
Yeah.
Whereas now we're seeing the rise of TikTok influencers that, you know, I go and speak to audiences all over the place, and half the people don't even know what TikTok is yet. and these
could what?
Be, even in the marketing community.
They should know what it is, even if you're not on it.
I've been to audiences of marketing professionals where not a single person in the audience had TikTok.
Sheesh.
Fastest growing
platform in the world, right?
Social media platform in the world. And, you know, now, getting onto TikTok now is like getting onto Instagram 10 years ago.
Yes.
And LinkedIn is having a revival. So
it's amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, if there's two platforms to be concentrating on right now, TikTok and
Look,
Instagram.
It depends on what you want to do, but you need to be aware of all of them at least and what they can bring to
you. I think, you know, even so, if your business doesn't in your mind belong on TikTok, you need to be consuming an extraordinary amount of content on that platform so that you start to understand it. And as that, you know, the aversion to TikTok at the moment is that, oh, well, it's just young people singing songs and it's all a bit goofy.
And safety at the stage.
Sure. And that's exactly what Instagram was 12 years ago, 10 years ago, right?
And
it's the same cycle that's happening.
Yeah.
Mm. Nothing's different.
Yeah.
It's just the guys that are getting in now get all the organic reach up until the platform no longer needs to give it away.
Yeah.
And then it gets
monetized.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you're right.
Yeah, so your approach sounds a lot like growth hacking. And I'm sure it makes sense, seeing as the Fed Group is known for championing sustainability. Would you consider yourself a growth hacker?
Yeah, absolutely. I think growth hacking is almost another word for innovation in a specific area.
True.
You know, growth hacking is based in innovation.
Yeah, and what do you think growth hackers do differently to your, I'd say, run-of-the-mill marketers?
They think differently.
Yeah, at all times.
Yeah, and they think differently, and they act on those different thoughts. You know, in the same way as you look at, there's people with ideas, and then there's entrepreneurs. The only difference between them is
someone did something.
Somebody,
right? Yeah. Everybody's had a million-dollar idea.
Yeah.
Only a few of them have ever acted on it.
And then 3 months later, you're like, but I thought about that. Like, this person stole my idea. And you're like, no.
No, exactly.
Everyone can have the idea.
And that's growth hackers. It's the same thing. You know, every marketer will say, oh, yeah, you know, I thought about influencers 10 years ago.
But
you weren't using them.
No, exactly.
Yeah. And you're not using them now.
Fair point.
When it's, you know. So that's the difference. And growth hackers will test something. There's a lot of rapid prototype, rapid feedback loops. So we put something out, we test it in the market, get feedback, and if we have to, dump it, next thing goes out.
Okay. Or obviously change it or tweak it until you get what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I do love that.
And earlier on you spoke briefly about influencer marketing. What are your views around it becoming to go to marketing channel, and do you think it could be used to enhance that your growth hacking tactics?
There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah,
I think it's the most overlooked opportunity right now. I think that we're going to look back and go, why weren't we giving 50% of our budget to influencer marketing?
Yeah, look, you're preaching to the converted.
Yeah.
And why weren't we giving control of a certain portion of that budget, not just to influencers for production, but for actual spend of budget. So pay the influencer to produce and to get access to their audience, and then give them budget to spend in order to get that message out, because they are so intrinsically linked to their audience. They are so in tune that if you see any value in their audience and you're not leveraging that, then I don't understand what your argument could be, because those are the people you want to speak to.
Yeah,
that's the person that they're listening to. Yeah. That a true influencer will not carry your brand message if they don't believe in it.
No.
So if you approach that brand, that influencer as a brand, and they go, I don't want to work with you, then you've got a choice. You either go, educate me, because I know that your audience is my audience. What are we doing wrong? That takes exactly. a lot of humility from a brand.
Yeah.
But that's got to start happening. Those conversations have to start happening.
So that's interesting that you say that. I read an article this week. It's actually in our newsletter tomorrow. I can't remember the brand now, overseas. But they're a cleaning company. They do cleaning products like your Handy Andys and things. And they are busy putting together an influencer advisory board that actually is going to have like thousands of influencers on it, so they can actually get feedback on them, on their content, on how they speak to audience and messaging. And I'm like, why isn't everyone doing this?
Yeah.
They know their audiences.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yep. And I will guarantee you that campaign will become a case study in the very near future.
Absolutely.
And then everybody's going to go, oh, yeah, I also had that idea.
And like a growth hacker, they didn't do it.
Exactly.
There you go. So, yeah, I just thought that was brilliant, especially if you've got access to these people who know your audience probably better than you do. Ask them
Not
for
probably.
Advice.
They know them. They do. They know them better than you.
They do. Yeah. So do get them on a board and be like, please help us with content. Which channels? Which messaging? I think they're doing it specifically on YouTube. They are trying to tap into the millennial market, and they're asking influencers, please help us, give us advice, co-create with us.
Sure.
It's amazing.
And big brands, or every brand that's got a board and an executive board, they need to start thinking, who's going to start to take on that role? Is there going to be a new type of executive that's handling not just social media, but social media influencers, their own production, like you guys have this podcast. There's going to be every brand will have a podcast one day. You guys are just ahead of everybody else.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right?
But it's true. There'll be an editor in chief of X Bank.
Mm.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
Content.
And the sooner people start to look at it with that level of executive focus and executive decision making, they will fly.
But do you not think it is because over the last couple of years, when you speak to certain people, they think influencers is a fad and they don't like them? And I'm like, then call them something else. You don't like the word. But the fact of the matter is they're here to stay and they work. It's a marketing channel.
I agree with you 100%. Although, don't call them anything different. Just start to get your head around that in this day and age, with digital platforms, has given power to those that are willing to put in the hard work. Being an influencer is not an easy job.
No.
It's not just sitting in a coffee shop flipping on your phone.
No.
That's an absolute fad. And if your exec or your marketing manager thinks that, go tell them to shadow an influencer.
Not a bad idea.
Pay an influencer to let your marketing or your exec go and spend the day with them.
Yeah.
They will have their minds blown with just how hard these people work. Right?
Yeah.
And because they can get there quickly, they can start at 16. The influencer wannabe can work from after school at 2 o'clock until 2 in the morning every day for 6 years.
Yeah.
And then at age 22 has put in a lot of hours, more than any college student put into their degree. Right? And then they've got that experience, they've got that audience, they're so in tune, they absolutely deserve the respect from the brand when they say, yes, I am an influencer.
100%.
And I take that very seriously. And if I do something wrong, look at Logan Paul.
PewDiePie.
One video.
No.
And they lost it. Done. So these guys are strategists. They are the producer, the art director, the creative director, everything.
No, they do everything.
And their own risk managers.
Yes, they're exactly, the OPRs as well.
So they are influencers, they deserve the title, and they deserve respect from brands. And when brands come to them like that, they will absolutely both win.
Absolutely. No attitude from either side, let's work together. Best work as well.
Absolutely.
That comes out of it.
No doubt.
I do like the idea of if people tell us that influencers is a fact, to tell them to go shadow someone. I love that. And then on that, obviously influencers is a big part of playing word of mouth these days. Like back in the day, you know, word of mouth will always be the best form of advertising. And social media obviously just gave that big platform to it. So do you think that they play a huge role in that?
They do. There's no question about it. Word of mouth has evolved.
Yes.
Word of mouth is not just hearsay or just one person. So the idea of an influencer is that this word of mouth happened with somebody that I've got trust. You know, the audience places trust in the influencer.
Yes.
Yeah.
They see them as a peer. So this sort of word of mouth, peer-to-peer, because that trust has been earned over time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the influencers that we see and that we know are the influencers that have done it right. And for everyone that's done it right, I promise you there's 10,000 or 100,000 that got it wrong. So they've put out and they've worked with only the brands that they believe in, only the philosophies of brands that they prepare to expose their audience to. And when they do that once and the audience responds, they go, well, yes, the information you gave me was true. I liked your review. I believe, or if I questioned your review, the response you gave me was adequate, and I still maintain trust with you.
100%. And you are that peer that you can talk to. It's not like you're hitting a wall.
Yeah, and then that builds, and that's kind of what builds. It builds from being just a trusted person to being the influencer, is the person who has peer-to-peer, word-of-mouth level of influence to a mass audience.
And I think it's very important what you also mentioned is that they align themselves with brands that align with their own brand and values. And that's also where that trust gets built in. People know they're not just going to partner with anyone and everyone.
Yes. And that's where, you know, I spoke about the one that we see, there's 10,000 that we didn't. And that's almost always where the influencer gets it wrong. They start to get some traction and now they go, I've been sweating for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and now a brand's going, oh, I'll give you a little bit of money, and you go, well,
yes,
I'm just. They see the money, they take the money. Brand misalignment. They get often get exploited by the brand, paid nothing, told to say a whole lot of things that they wouldn't really believe in, or you know, and then it's a bad campaign for the brand, because it was entered in from the wrong side, and it's bad for the influencer because they start to lose the trust of their audience, and their audience shifts.
Yeah.
No, exactly. It's
I know you spoke about this, but I need you to really reiterate this point. How important is it for brands to empower influencers and co-create in order to hyper-grow, so to speak?
Well, I think as soon as brands start to see influencers as their partners, and they start to really work with them, you know, they almost see them just as a distribution, as like end of the line.
Like, there you go,
sort of, you know, right, we'll write the whole campaign, we're going to do the strategy, we're going to do, and we'll give you the artwork, and you can maybe, you know, take a photo like this in this pose and doing that with a million other, you know, and say this, don't say that, don't work with a single one of our competitors for the next 24 months, you know, and you go, well, what do you want them for? You might as well just have a foghorn driving through the streets, because that's how effective it becomes.
I love
but
that.
But if you go and you say, right, let's be careful and let's select our influencers well. Let's use the new platforms coming out that allow us to evaluate. You know, they're all data driven. We can take a hashtag, we can plug it into a whole lot of tools, and we can get reports, and we know who these people are talking to, and we can go, right, in terms of our broadline strategy, this fits. Now we go, right, let's select these people, and let's get them all in a room. Because what's better than one influencer is having multiple influencers working together.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And collaborating together. They love to collaborate, because that's what influencers get. They get that collaboration is exponential for everybody.
Yeah.
So when they start doing that, and you bring them in, but bring them in when you've got an idea of a campaign and then develop that part of it with them. Do the strategy with them. Don't think of them just as people on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. These guys manage to get to your audience on a level that you, the brand, has still and will never be able to achieve. Then get them in at the why you wouldn't want them at the strategy level when you're building a campaign blows my mind.
Most of you know that Influential is our podcast sponsor, but did you know that my co-host Anne heads up the agency, and that is the first ever boutique agency in South Africa that specializes in developing strategy for influencer marketing. Anne and her team are experts in the field, and they've spent years honing their skills and knowledge about influencer marketing and at some of the country's biggest PR and media agencies. The moment that you think you might want an influencer campaign, make sure to call or email them first, because without strategy, it might not have the outcomes that you would like and are looking for. In addition to talking all things influence on this podcast, Anne also puts together the fantastic Influential newsletter that comes out every month. And this is another way for you to keep up to date with the industry. The link to latest newsletter is in the show notes. Check it out. And if you like, please subscribe. Anne's contact details are also on there. Let's keep the conversation flowing.
Unfortunately, we're not there yet in South Africa, bro.
I don't think we're really there anywhere.
We're not ready. You don't think so?
No. I think that some brands are starting to experiment with it. They're starting to see the value. There's absolutely a value. If you just look at what's happening on the back end of Facebook's new platform with influencers, it's absolutely going to become structured and built into the platforms. No doubt about it. And it's going to. But I don't know of any brand that is actively bringing in and paying. So it's not just like, oh, you might get a chance to, because this is what happens. Like, oh, come in and do all the strategy with it, or give us your ideas, and you might be part of the campaign.
Yeah.
Pay them like you'd pay a strategist.
A consultant.
It doesn't matter if they're 19 years old. If your audience wants to be told or influenced by a 19-year-old, have the 19-year-old in the room with your executive at strategy.
I agree.
Yeah.
Would be lovely. I would love to sit in a room with influencers while I do my stress.
And just pay them.
Ideas.
Yeah.
Pay them.
Consult. Yeah. They're consultants at the end of the day, right? You bring them in as consultants.
A consultant doesn't have to be a 67-year-old guy in a suit and tie. Yeah. It can be
a 19-year-old from 19-year-old
girl who wears stockings and pom-pom hats and get used to being uncomfortable. You know, this is why so little innovation, true innovation, happens. You know, we dress a lot of things up as innovation, but tell me how many companies you know would be interested in saying, pay a proper consulting fee to somebody that you might not actually end up running the campaign with, and that person wears flip-flops and bright orange dresses and
purple hair
and has a mohawk.
I know zero, to be very honest, off the top of my head.
And a tattoo on their face. And that's going to go into a corporate South African boardroom or even a global corporate boardroom.
Yeah.
Isn't
and that's
weird
the problem.
That we still have these hang-ups in the world? It's very strange. Insane. Do you take people in suits seriously and the rest of us not? Anyways, that's very interesting. On your social media, you are very passionate about putting a brand's reputation first over price. And I think it's evident in everything we've spoken about today. Reputation ultimately comes first, right? Why are you so passionate about that?
So your reputation is your brand, right? And what's going to happen if we look at where tech's going. So let me deal first with price, then I'll go. Price. If you compete on price, and this is the conversation I have a lot in the startup space, is if you compete on price, the bigger guy wins because he's got a bigger balance sheet, he's got more money, and he'll undercut you down to below cost price until you can no longer survive. You close down, he buys your stock, and he puts the price back up.
Fair enough.
Just competing on price, always everybody loses. And in financial services, sometimes, you know, we've got products where we look after the death benefits on behalf of minor beneficiaries, right?
Okay.
And it's very easy to enter in a price war there with the other providers, and we say, no, forget it. We will not do that, because there's a certain point at which the only way you can take the price down is at the expense of the little kid who's a real person.
Yeah.
Who's mourning for his family.
Who's having the worst time in his entire life, right? Mm. And you've been entrusted to look after the little bit of money that's left to make sure that they go to school. So instead of saying, how much is school? School's whatever, 10,000 Rand, right? There's 10,000 Rand into the bank account, and an uncle or an aunt or a friend takes that money and goes and gambles it. But we paid the money. You know, we did what we had to
do. We did our deal. Yeah. We were good.
You say, forget it. That's not good enough, because there's a real boy who's sitting and in the worst time of his life going, I need to go to school. Or doesn't even know he needs to go to school.
Mm.
So we go to the school and say, right, there's the money for him.
Amazing.
We bypass any potential for it to be exploited or stolen or misappropriated. And then we check that the kid's going to school. All right, he's not going to school. Now we start to investigate.
Like, why aren't you going to school?
He's not going to school because he might not have a bicycle. Well, then let's buy him a bicycle.
Wonderful.
Right? So that's the problem with price. If we just look at price, we can't necessarily... We can make ourselves look good in a boardroom with a bunch of trustees where we're standing up there and we're going, look at the pricing model. But if... But if that boy was standing in the room saying,
I'm not getting the education.
Hang on, like, that's not helping me.
Exactly, yeah.
You're not looking after my best. So that's the difference. If you can remove people from the transaction or from the room and you're just looking at numbers, price works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we refuse to stop there. We go and we really think about people as people and we put it before profit. So, yes, we could grow our book faster.
Yeah.
Not prepared to. We will work to educate the industry until it understands that the fair price gets you the best result.
Yeah.
So that's price.
Love that.
Reputation is brand. So your reputation is your brand. If we look at how consumer buying habits is going to change in the future, if we look at the Alexa and these sort of IoT devices that are going to go into our homes, we're not going to say, Alexa, please give me the page 1, 2, and 3 of the Google search of plumbers in Sandown.
Yeah.
We're going to say, Alexa, call Brian's plumbers and get them to sort out the leak. Mm. So what's shifting is we've had this time where we go, as long as we can land on the certain part of Google, or we can pay for Google ads or those sorts
we're
of things,
sorted.
We can get a portion of the market. It's going to come down to what's top of mind.
Mm.
People, that, you know, the only time that somebody's going to think about the second plumber in the list is when the first one comes back and Alexa says, the first appointment is in 2 weeks' time. Yeah. And you go, well, I've got to leave
them now.
Right? I need them now.
Yeah.
And and then the other way is through IoT, where the IoT device, I mean, we heavily invested into IoT.
Okay.
We're creating smart devices. We've got smart metering and all of these sorts of devices already being deployed. And there, it will talk directly to the person. So you get a leak in your house, it's going to say, call X plumber. So there, again, your reputation is going to come into it because the businesses are... And the IoT devices, they'll be very localized. So they're going to get a plumber from the area. And it's going to have to be on reputation. Because if that plumber is not reliable, it means that my IoT device has to keep looking. Or we have to now get human interaction in there and trying to solve a problem.
Which is what we're trying to avoid.
Absolutely.
So what do you think is influence marketing role in reputation? Is there a role for it?
Sure. I think as it matures as an industry, we're seeing a lot of maturity in the last 3 years of this industry.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah.
And it's exponential, and we haven't even started. And we're going to get influencers that will allow you onto their podcast, and that adds to your reputation.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have influencers who are going, I will only deal with X brand,
mm-hmm.
and that brand gets reputation. So the reputation of the influencer is mm-hmm. going to become more and more respected, and their willingness to work with a brand will add to your reputation.
I do love that, because then it goes both ways as well.
Yeah.
If we look at it in something that maybe people would be more familiar with, a sports star will only work with certain sports brands because they believe in the equipment.
Yes.
Tiger Woods is not going to use, I don't play golf, whatever.
Yeah.
Callaway.
Yeah.
Clubs if they don't work well enough for him.
Yeah.
Right? So the reason people buy the clubs that Tiger Woods uses is because of his reputation,
yeah.
not the clubs.
No, 100%.
Yeah, and the same thing is going to happen with influencer marketing on smaller and bigger brands.
Yeah. I do love that.
And in your opinion, do you think that influencer marketing should be incorporated, in other words, used to complement other marketing activities? And do you see us getting to a point where it fully replaces or replaces at least one of the marketing channels that already exist?
No doubt in my mind. Absolutely no doubt in my mind.
That was true.
I think it's our next massive media shift and revolution.
Right.
And I think it will, if we look at the pressure on radio, radio is moving to podcast. Podcast will be run by influencers.
Yeah.
So there already I can see it overtaking radio,
yeah.
TV,
yeah.
print. You know, look at where we get our news from.
Where
do you guys consume your news?
Social media.
Twitter.
Right?
Yeah.
Twitter and social media.
Yeah.
So, you're going direct to the journalist because you trust that journalist's 100%. Opinion. Right?
Exactly.
So in the same way that it's already happening.
Yeah.
So as that shifts, we're seeing radio stations, we're seeing closing down, we're seeing newspapers closing down left, right, and center. Influencer marketing, if you're ignoring it and you don't think it, if you think it's a fad, you're in very, very dangerous mindset.
Yeah.
But do you not think if they all work together, they can kind of save the industry, sort of? So you have your print ads, your out of home, your radio, obviously if you've got budget, and then use influencers to kind of support that, to enhance it. Or would you just go influencer?
No. Absolute marketing mix. But what's happening is that the media channels and the media, it's not even the media channels, it's the attention. If we look, media is about attention.
Yes.
Right? So where is the attention being focused? So where are audiences consuming their news?
Social media.
Twitter. So it's moved away, right? It doesn't mean that there's nobody listening in their cars. It doesn't mean it's dead yet. But it means that unless we start to see where that attention is shifting to and shifting our budgets to them, if we're saying that the attention is not at influencers and that it deserves zero of our budget, that's the dangerous mindset.
It is very dangerous. And you can see Cosmopolitan last year put out an influencer edition, which did very well because they're starting to get it.
Yeah.
So, like, we need to start aligning to what our readers are reading and who they, not putting these glamorous stars on, they would rather see their famous influencer friends on the covers. So for me, that made such a beautiful partnership. And then this year, they're also doing something similar. I think that they're doing the Netflix edition is out now with Queen Sono and things that's from South Africa. And I'm like, they get it. They know they are in a space that's very threatened right now.
Yes.
So let's partner.
Yep. And they will lead Cosmopolitan into the influencer space. They will become 100%. Either a collective. You know, we've seen that in the gaming space where there's these like Thousand Thieves and those sorts of where we've got collectives, right? And then Cosmopolitan, I see as before it was a collection of writers. If we actually break down what is a magazine, it's a collection of writers,
yeah.
right? the best writers in the fashion industry for that audience.
Yeah.
And I think what's going to happen is the guys that really get it, they're going to add support, they're going to add legal support, they're going to add business support, and they're going to grow these influencers, and they're going to help them out, and they're going to boost their platforms.
100%.
You've really set in our studio and advocated the subject that makes us tick, which is influencer marketing, and why people should use it, and why you think it works. Why do you think in such an environment you would have a brand in South Africa who's sitting on the fence and thinks, nah, this thing doesn't work?
Because it's new. It's happened every time there's something new. You know, we're afraid of what's new because I think what also needs to change is the mindsets within business of going, let's be safe, right? Yeah. It's very easy for me to go and say, let's run a campaign. We're going to use a traditional media mix that's backed by a strategist from an agency, right? And then if it goes wrong, I go, oh, well, the agency, you know, that was a bad idea.
Isn't that always the case? The agency always gets the blame.
Well, of course. Right? And as opposed to going, if I've take that same scenario and I've said, right, we're going to take 60% of the budget and we're going to do exactly that same scenario. But with 40% of the budget, I'm going to run an influencer campaign, even through an agency.
Yeah.
Right, and it bombs in the same way. The execs or whoever's overseeing this, whoever's evaluating this loss, is going to say, "Well, why did you go with influencer marketing?
Yeah.
That's a gimmick."
That's true, because it's usually someone who's much older and don't understand it.
As opposed to going, right, maybe the problem is, like, let's break this whole thing down.
Yeah. Mm.
Did we get the wrong influencers? Mm-hmm. Did we...
Wrong platform.
Did we just go to an agency? Because the other thing that needs to evolve is agencies. If agencies don't learn to work with influencers soon, they're going to die at a faster rate than they're already dying off.
Well, that's why there's agencies now specifically dealing with influencer marketers. And luckily, the traditional agencies, they will actually come and partner, because they're like, we're not the experts anymore, which I feel like is amazing, because they understand. But I think to your point is the case of Video Killed the Radio Star. And guys, radio's still here. Everything is still here. It's just there's a smaller piece of the pie.
Sure. You know? I like, same as books. You know, everything went digital. There is absolutely a revival of books.
True.
And this will continue to happen, but it'll become more niche. It'll become more bespoke.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
You know, if there's an opportunity in business right now, it's for a physical bookstore.
Yes.
Right. Our bookstores in South Africa, they don't understand the self-publishing market backed by influencers, and if somebody gets that right, they have such an amazing business opportunity there. But or somebody else goes, right, hang on, I'll take that part of the market, I'm going to open my own thing.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's always the case. So would you say then having a strategist on an influencer marketing campaign is important?
Yes, so long as the influencer is seen as one of the strategists.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And we have discussed this. You don't think anyone's doing this right yet?
I'm not sure that anybody's doing it almost at all, because they're not being brought in to at the initial stages. And I think they would shape a portion of a campaign very differently. And I think if you look, they've had to fight for attention so hard where they've got nothing. They've got no money, they've got no resources, and they've got no brand or reputation yet. They're nobody. They put themselves out in front of their friends. They got probably mostly got ridiculed for it.
Of course.
And they fought for it. You want to find a growth hacker and a strategist? In that part of the campaign, there's nobody better. Now, there's always going to be value of having a senior strategist who make sure that it comes in line. And I believe very, very much in strategy and a good strategist. But a good strategist If you sit me down in front of a good strategist and I say, why not bring in an influencer at the strategy level to help guide the strategy of this portion of the campaign?
Yeah.
If they say that's ridiculous, then I'm not so sure that they would be a good strategist.
I do love that, but I agree with you. It is it's asking advice to someone who knows their market so intrinsically well that you can only add value.
It's so hard. If we look at almost every market, there's so many people that influence it.
Mm.
What we've got is this hyper-targeted person, and this person is an individual.
Yeah.
Now, if we don't see value in seeing their strategy and how they would approach it, and yet we want to speak to their audience, we've just completely missed it.
I love that, actually. Okay, we're almost at the end of our interview, or our chat, rather.
An interesting one at that.
Very interesting. Yeah. We're gonna bring you back, Brett.
Please.
Because we've got lots to chat about.
I like talking, so that's fine.
We'll give you more cappuccinos. Any of our listeners, if they want to grow up to be like you, any advice where they can start in their careers right now? Kind of start with what they have. What would you advise them to do?
So I think, first off, start creating content. And there's a big misconception in South Africa specifically that you can create too much content. You literally cannot create too much content. I'm talking across your channels, 20, 30, 40, 50 pieces of content a day.
Isn't that a bit overload?
No, because the platforms are consumer-centric. This idea that we can overload somebody to the point that they're going to unfollow us no longer exists.
Are you sure?
Only your super fan. Remember, we're talking about multiple platforms.
Yes.
We're talking about stories. Stories live for 24 hours. So it doesn't mean go and fill up your Instagram timeline with 50 pieces of content in a day.
Because that's like consumer fatigue.
This is, but remember that because we've got consumer-centric platforms that work for the consumer of the content. So if I'm a super fan, I cannot get enough of your content.
Fair enough.
I will see it all. If I quite like your content and I, on occasion, interact with it, the platforms will push the appropriate amount of content because they want to keep me on the platform. That's their they want to keep my attention on that platform. So the other thing is about repurposing a message. So you've got a piece of content, you put it onto Instagram, it looks a certain way. You break it up, you're putting it into tweets. That's a different conversation, a slightly different voice. Then I put it onto Instagram, a more respectful tone, for example.
It's all about packaging it differently.
Content, absolutely number one. Number two, act on your ideas. You've got ideas.
Mm.
Start something. Doesn't mean you can't shut it down.
I think that's also, a lot of people are scared of that. Like, you've got this idea. Now, if you act on it and it fails, failure is like this huge thing.
Yeah.
And I always say to people, it's okay to fail. Everyone fails. It's okay. Then you go on.
If you don't like losing or making mistakes, then don't get into entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Don't get into innovation. And don't get into like influencer content creation.
100%.
Because the nature of those types of roles is that you fail far more, but you enjoy that part. That's part of the process. It's part of discovery. It's part of problem solving.
Mm.
So have an idea, put it to work, and get your fast feedback loops. Don't ask your friends and family for their opinion on your idea because...
Oh, they'll only be nice, right?
Exactly.
Oh.
So, but what we've got is put it out to your platform.
Mm.
Right, put it out into social media, whatever, and discount what your friends and family say because they're just too nice to you.
Yeah,
they don't want to hurt your
feelings. But the market will tell you.
No.
And then either adapt or...
Or die.
Or bin it.
Yeah.
And start again.
Yeah. Mm,
I do love that, guys. Please don't be scared to fail. Just do it.
It's
fun. I failed many, many times in my life. Yes, you're down there for a while, but then you're okay. You learn, you carry on.
You live, you learn. And where can our listeners find you? On social media, everywhere else?
Across all the social media channels, it's Brett B. Field, Don't forget the B in the middle. Most mm-hmm. people miss that one. So it's Brett with a double T, B Field.
Awesome.
Okay.
Easy. Consistency, we like that. We always say people try and get the same handle everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's easier for people to find you.
Rather have a worse handle that's consistent across all your channels.
Yeah.
Please, no numbers in them, please.
Exactly. And no. And for KKS Influencer Marketing Strategy, where can they find you?
We're only on Twitter and LinkedIn because that's where we need it. But we're Influential SA also on both platforms. Happy days. And if you want to follow me personally, I'm at Ann Dolly across the board as well.
And the podcast on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
where can they find us?
It's called Coffee Conversations About Influence Marketing, and we're on Facebook. Please like and share. And just keep up with the conversation and tell us who would you want on the podcast. Tell us what kind of input you want.
Yeah.
What do you want us to ask people? What do you want to learn, basically?
Exactly. Let's keep the conversation going. My coffee got cold, so let's go top up our cups and continue this conversation. But Brett, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And
so
for
insightful.
Sharing your knowledge on innovation and growth hacking and your experiences with influencer marketing.
Thanks so much.
For to everybody else at home, in your cars, at the gym, at your local shop, at yoga, wherever you're catching us from, we love you. But unfortunately, we have to leave you. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.